Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
All right, good morning, everybody. Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider, is going to join us in about 15 minutes, get into the testy relationship between the Rockies and Cubs that played out yesterday. Why do these things escalate where four guys end up getting hit?
You said testies.
I said testy. I didn't say testies. I said testy.
Talk about the testies relationship.
Things got testy. You're such a child.
Testies. He said it.
I'm happy.
Oh, my goodness. That threw me a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So Patrick will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. I want to play a little bit of a what-if game here. Kirk Cousins came out yesterday and was very blunt about what he needs to do in his second year with the Vikings. He said, quote, I think the next level really is all about winning. I'm pretty much a 500 quarterback in my career so far, and I don't think that's where you want to be, and that's not why you are brought in or people are excited about you. The what if game. What if Kirk Cousins actually reciprocated the feelings that the Broncos had for him when he was a free agent? What if he felt the same way towards the Broncos and became a Bronco? Which, let's not kid ourselves. We're at the Super Bowl. You know what was being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about Kirk Cousins. The idea that the Broncos would be able to get Kirk Cousins. It was all about going after Kirk Cousins. And when it became clear that Cousins didn't have interest in the Broncos, they quickly shifted to Case Keenum. But Bronco land was very much in on the idea of Kirk Cousins. So, what if?
I don't think much would have changed, Mike, because Kirk Cousins has proven that Kirk Cousins can be exceptionally efficient playing the game, and it still doesn't necessarily equate to having a winning record, because Kirk Cousins is like 95% of the other quarterbacks out there. He needs a really good team around him to win.
Well,
he had
a really good team around him last year, a team that with Case Keenum went to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, a team that also fired their coordinator, a team that had some strife, a team that took the formula of Case Keenum. See, here he goes again. Here's a team, and we experienced this in Denver a little bit. We get Case Keenum, we're going to be wide open. We're wide open until Keenum's throwing three interceptions a game when he threw seven total the year before. And then all of a sudden they said, hey, let's put the restrictor plates on. Right? And the exact opposite is true for the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings completely got away from their formula, which was we are going to run the crud out of the ball, set up all our play action stuff. They were one of the top two or three teams as far as attempts in the game the year before. And they took all that pressure off of Keenum, and that's one of the reasons they were so good in the red zone. They were so efficient. 22-7, I believe, were his numbers. 22 touchdowns versus 7 interceptions that year. And then they get the new shiny toy, and they say, now we're going to open it up. Now we're going to get away from the formula that actually worked, to the point where the head coach finally just fired the offensive coordinator. Remember, going into the season, DeFilippo, right, was the coordinator. He was the hot talk of he's going to be the next head coach, man. He's going to be that next young Ode of McVay. And then all of a sudden, he gets fired, and the rest is history. So I think you overestimate the value of certain guys. And we're all guilty when a guy is super efficient and looks the part. But the bottom line is I think Kirk Cousins, like every other quarterback not named Brady, Rodgers, and a few other guys, Showtime.
Really? Putting Showtime in that category?
Showtime!
Roethlisberger.
Can we see him do it for maybe a second year before we go ahead and crown him?
I know.
It's Showtime!
Annoying. He's Hall of Famer. Already, he's in the hole.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing about Cousins. His three previous final years in Washington, he averaged 4,400 yards passing, 27 touchdowns,
12 interceptions.
And 12 interceptions.
Yeah.
This past year with the Vikings, he threw for 4,300 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. He actually statistically
was better.
So here's a guy who puts up numbers but doesn't win.
What is that?
What, I'm asking you, how do you put up those kind of numbers? We would instantly sign me up, no questions asked. If you could tell me Joe Flacco is going to throw for 4,300 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions, give it to me. Right away. No questions asked.
You know, it'd be interesting to look at him, look at his numbers in, like, what are his numbers in the last, call it 7 minutes of, like, critical situation numbers. Gotta have a drive numbers. Last 6 minutes of the first half, last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. Like, in tight games, critical situations, like, where are his numbers in those situations? That would be interesting to me.
Well, I think it's that, but it's also just kind of the front-running nature of him. Because when it's good, and it's going good, he's really good. But it's those days where it's hard, it's a grind, it's finding a way. And when you look at when they lost last year, 10 points against Chicago, 7 points against Seattle, 10 points against New England, 6 points against Buffalo. You know, it's those games where you're not having a great day, but you got to make sure it's not a bad day.
Yeah, you know, you look at him, you look at his record. I had this going into the season, or first couple weeks of last season, his record against above 500 teams, and he's like 5-25 last. I mean,
let's boil it down. Would you rather have Joe Flacco or Kirk Cousins? Because say whatever you will about Joe Flacco, maybe his numbers
aren't as good, but his crunch time numbers seem to be better, right?
Right. He's got a playoff record. He's got a playoff resume that Kirk Cousins can only dream about right now.
That's a great question. I love Kirk Cousins' numbers, though. But maybe just Flacco's got more moxie.
Moxie. Yes. Moxie. And better hair.
You know what would be a great name for like a cologne? Moxie. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Moxie.
Moxie.
By Mike Evans.
Patrick Saunders on Beanball Wars. Next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
With a great anticipation, looking forward to talking to our Rockies insider, Patrick Saunders, brought to us by ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. He joins us now. Patrick, good morning, and kind of take us through the origins and storyline that ended up being the Rockies and Cubs bad blood.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff for a 10-1 blowout loss, right, guys? Yeah, essentially, it kind of even goes back all the way to last year, if you want to stretch it that far, when Nerman Marquez hit one of the Cubbies in the helmet. But really, this one started with Tuesday night when Peter Lambert, the young rookie, plunked Chris Bryant, the Cubs star twice. The Cubs took exception to that. The Rockies seemed to think, at least Nolan Arenado seemed to think, there might be retaliation yesterday, and there was. Nolan got plunked in the third inning by Cole Hamels on his forearm. Pretty scary moment. Nolan admitted he thought when he first got hit and the arm started to really tighten up, he was afraid he might have had a broken bone. Luckily, no. But by the end of the day, four different players have been hit by pitches. No punches thrown, no benches emptied, but plenty of bad blood. And curious, too, because you've got Joe Maddon in the Cubs dugout and Bud Black in the Rockies dugout. And the two of them are about as close as any managers in baseball. But after the game, Bud Black was about as angry as I've seen him. Didn't say much, but it was interesting. Let's say that.
So what is Major League Baseball like? I know they don't play again this year, right? But what does Major League Baseball say to both organizations? Do they come out and have a conference? Or does anything happen beyond this point?
I don't think so. Not officially, because there were no suspensions, although Tony Walters, who got plunked in the ninth inning in a 10-0 game, certainly thought there should have been because the warnings had been issued, but the umps did nothing. But to answer your question, Stink, I don't think anything happens because there were no suspensions. I don't think there's a letter or a reprimand. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. There were no punches thrown, but, it depends on how you look at it, I suppose. It's either a quaint throwback tradition in baseball, or it's silliness. I guess it all depends on your point of view.
Right, exactly. One of the things, or one of the stories that's emerging right now that is pretty intriguing, for me at least, the second start of Peter Lambert. I was, the first start was absolutely phenomenal. Command of three pitches to both sides of the plate. I just thought, wow, what a great story that was for the first start. What's going to happen in his second start? How do they adjust? They've seen him now. I thought he was brilliant again. I thought he was really good again. How much are they hanging their hats, and how much do they believe that Peter Lambert's going to be the real deal here for the rest of the season?
Yeah, that's. I agree with you. He was terrific, and his stuff doesn't blow you away. I mean, it's good. He can throw a pretty, a mid-90s fastball when he wants to. But I'm sure what you guys both noticed, and I think everybody noticed, was the poise for a kid who goes out there looking like he's about 15 or 16 years old. He's got a lot of poise, and he's not afraid to throw all of his pitches in any count. It's pretty unusual for a guy making his second start. But you mentioned about hanging their hat on him. Yeah, they need him to continue. I'm not saying he's going to be this good always, because he's going to have some bumps in the road. There's no question. But considering the state of the rotation right now, it's kind of interesting that suddenly Peter Lambert is one of your go-to guys. I'm not sure that's really a position you want to be in, but that's kind of where they are right now.
Patrick Saunders, our guest. Privately, Patrick, what are the Rockies saying about Kyle Freeland's comeback?
It's going to take time. I think there's belief he'll do it. There's also a sense that don't read too much into the stats that come out of AAA. Kyle pitched yesterday, and I don't have the box score in front of me, but I think it was, I guess you can quote me, but I don't think it was very good. I think it was 6 runs given up in a short amount of innings. But they're saying, listen, don't look too much into the statistics that come out of the box scores out of Albuquerque, because he's working on a lot of stuff. And while you're working on stuff, you might get hit around. Bottom line, I think they believe he will be back, maybe around the All-Star game, post-All-Star game. They think he'll figure it out. I think so too, but I don't know if he's going to be the Kyle Freeland we saw last year. At least not again this season, because I think he's got a lot of things going on right now.
Give us some information. Do you have any? I mean, Nolan Arenado said he's going to see about playing today, depending on how he feels when he wakes up this morning. Do you have any inside information on Nolan and what the expectations are here for him, moving forward for the next couple of days?
Not really. I mean, I did talk to Nolan post game yesterday, and, as I mentioned when we started the phone call, at first he was scared there might be something bad. X-rays showed nothing, no broken bones. But he said it got pretty tight. So my guess is he might not play tonight against the Padres, but I would be really surprised if it's anything more than one and maximum 2 days out. Nolan's a warrior. He's played through a lot of things through the years. I think he'll be just fine.
Okay. Good updates, Patrick. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks for the call.
Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider, presented by Rocks Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. We speculated before Lambert made this second start that if you're the Rockies, you are watching with very, very close attention to these two starts, one against the Cubs, one against the Padres during this homestand. See how he handles pitching at Coors Field. You know a book will instantly be, will come out that teams will use against him. How does he handle what teams are trying to do, the adjustments? And it'll decide whether or not the Rockies should be all in on trying to go out and get another pitcher. Has he pushed the pause button in your mind? For what the Rockies should do, will do?
Well, it depends. I still think that they would be well served to find themselves another pitcher, you know, another starter. Because that gives you opportunities. Look how bad Chad Bettis was as a starter early in the season. Look how good he's been out of the bullpen. You know, could Sensatella be that guy that moves down, right? Like, that could solve a lot of issues. Like, by getting a starter, you have more of an opportunity to kind of, you know, fortify the bullpen at the same time. And Sensatella's pitched out of the bullpen, so it's not like he hasn't done it before. As far as Peter Lambert is concerned, if you've got command of three pitches, which he has had in his first two starts, and you can throw them in any count, like, that's awesome. Like, when you can do that, Mike, you can be successful. And to me, command of his fastball, 94, 96 on both sides of the dish, and being able to throw a change in any count. And it's not a get me over type of change, not a get me over type of pitch. Like, it's a legit, it's got great, you know, it's got great drops out, great movement, downward movement. Like, you can do that. You can pitch in this league. And that's what I see from him. And until, you know, I see something else, until I see him behind in every count and he's got a groove of fastball down the middle. I mean, I will tell you the crazy thing about baseball today is 94, 96 means nothing. Now, 96 with location is different, but you throw me 96 down the middle of the plate in today's league, it's going to get you. Somebody's going to hit a seed.
Jeff Hoffman.
Yeah. They're going to turn it around. So, the kid is legit, and we'll see, you know, how this next start against the Padres goes, but I'm very impressed.
Coming up next, another NFL scandal involving the Patriots, but not in the way you think. That's next in Four Down Territory.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
You know, I could sit up here and say, yeah, I want to be here in Denver in the whole 9 yards, but if I have free agency and I have 1,100 yards and I'm coming off explosive year, we make the playoffs, and I have free agency, of course I'm going to listen to other teams. Why would I not?
Do you think if you weren't hurt, you would have been in a very similar circumstance to what Chris just went through?
Yeah, more than likely. I would probably wanted to do.
All right, Emmanuel Sanders, honest as ever, on yesterday with The Drive, D-Mac and Tom Nalen. And you've said this many, many times. You do not want to have a locker room filled with contractors?
Independent
contractors.
Right.
Guys who are just simply there looking out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you think of when you hear Emmanuel Sanders?
No. Do I think he's an independent contractor?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
I think it's kind of endemic of the position, but I still think he wants to win. I think he wants to be a team guy. I think he wants to be a leader. Sometimes I think it's hard at that position to really understand the sacrifice that you have to make at times. But I still think the guy goes out, he'll play hurt, he'll lead that way. You know, so he wants his numbers. I get that he wants his numbers. He wants his 1,100 yard. I get that. But I still think that he's willing to make the sacrifice and do some of the dirty work.
Couldn't agree more. On this one, we're in complete lockstep. I'm long past the days of worrying about receivers and their numbers. They're divas. They're the diva position in the NFL right now. I'm cool with that. But what I know about Emmanuel Sanders is if he produces, Broncos are going to benefit. And I do know he'll play hard. And I do know he'll take hellacious hits that leave us all wincing. And then he'll get up and he'll keep playing. So,
yeah,
keep doing what he does. Next in four down territory.
Second down. I'm pretty much a 500 quarterback in my career so far, and I don't think that's where you want to be, and that's not, you know, why you are brought in or people are excited about you. So if I don't play well, if I don't have gaudy statistics, but we win multiple playoff games this year, the narrative will be I went to the next level. And I may not walk off the field every day feeling like I did, but if we win, that's the life of a quarterback is you are at the next level. And if I have my best year yet in 2019, but we're 8-8, I didn't go to the next level.
There he is. Mm. Broncos country, the quarterback that a vast majority of you were pining for a couple of years ago, Kirk Cousins, the one that got away, or are we glad the one that got away?
Well, I mean, come on, the numbers he puts up, we would love to have those numbers here. But as he mentioned, hasn't really equated to wins, and you can put up all those gaudy numbers. If you don't find a way to win, especially against teams that, you know, are above 500, teams that are competing in your division, well, then there is a certain amount of that of his career that's an anomaly that doesn't make sense to me. Like, how can you keep putting up 4,400 yards, 30 TDs, 10 interceptions, and not be over 500, not be a playoff team? Yeah, he needs to take next step, and it has to equate to wins, even if it means that your stats aren't as good. And maybe some of that is, hey man, I'm dumping it off on third down and 15, and I'm compiling statistics, but I'm not really giving us a shot to win.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Tom takes the snap. Max up. Looks down the middle. Throws down the middle. Catch by Amendola. Turns to the outside. Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
All right. So how about this? The Patriots are involved in a scandal, but they're actually the ones who feel like they've been done wrong. So the Patriots have filed tampering charges against the Houston Texans for the attempted general manager hire of Nick Caserio. So Houston fired their general manager, Brian Gain, the night after the Patriots had their Super Bowl ring ceremony. And former Patriots team chaplain and current Texans executive vice president of team development, Jack Easterby, attended that party. And apparently the Patriots are contending that it was at that party that he illegally chatted up Nick Caserio about joining the Texans.
Mm.
Now, what makes this even more interesting is that there are all kinds of Patriot ties on that Texans coaching staff, led by head coach Bill O'Brien.
I like the fact, though, you send a man of the cloth.
Right?
Right? That is like next level surreptitious. It sneaks in there. Damase. Bless you, my child. Can we get the team prayer before we eat? Oh, yeah, let me just give that to you. And then you nestle up next to the guy that you're trying to recruit. I tell you what, that's
the next level stuff.
It really is, right? That's the stuff out of a Dirk Diggler novel.
Absolutely.
Well,
No.
Who's Dirk Diggler? No, Dirk Pitt. Yeah, Dirk Pitt. That's
Dirk Pitt. I can't believe. I can't believe you just confused Dirk Pitt with Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, different.
Although,
genre.
Although Dirk Pitt back in his early days was
Numa.
Yeah.
Right?
He was quite the...
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, he actually played Dirk Pitt in a movie.
Who did?
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What movie?
Sahara.
Oh, is that based off of...
He was Dirk Pitt.
Yeah, I don't see McConaughey being Dirk Pitt.
No.
You need somebody...
I don't know who can play Dirk Pitt. Dirk Pitt. No, you're not Dirk Pitt.
Are you
kidding me? You're more like Al.
But I got to say this about Brad Pitt. Dude is beautiful.
Brad Pitt could play Dirk Pitt.
I don't...
For those of you who don't know, Dirk Pitt is basically...
James Bond
meets Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
But
I think of Dirk Pitt as...
Meets Indiana Jones. Like, I mean, but he might be the coolest of all of them.
I think Dirk Pitt is... Like, my vision of Dirk Pitt is dark hair.
Yeah.
About 6'4".
Yeah.
About 225.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Whoa.
I just thought...
Goatee.
I just thought where that was going.
He's got a goatee. He's got a little bit of gray in it.
Dirk Pitt is 6'2", tall, slender, lanky, athletic, and, maybe like 210.
No. He's bigger than that.
No.
Looks a lot like me.
Can't believe you just compared... A great now you've just ruined Clive Cussler novels for me.
No, I haven't.
I'm going to be thinking about Dirk Diggler. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I have no hard feelings against him. Obviously, if we're ever in the same room, I'm going to say what's up to him. I think hatred is a huge word to use against somebody. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he's a great player. You know, he comes out every day. He's worked ethic. He worked hard. But other than that, I don't have anything towards him or anything like that.
So Juju Smith-Schuster says he's cool with Antonio Brown, no hard feelings, and that's all well and good. But as we look ahead for the Steelers this season, is Juju, in your mind, ready to become the number one guy? I mean, he's prospered, he's flourished comfortably in AB's shadow, but is he ready to become a leading man?
I think there's a lot of... Number two guys that have put up ridiculous numbers because the number one guy is so dominant. And then they get that chance. They believe they should be the number one guy. They get that chance. And it's different. It's different when you get that number one shutdown corner on you and they roll coverage over to you and all that stuff. So is he ready to take it on? Yeah, I think he's ready to take it on. Is he ready to have success or is he going to have success? I think it's going to be a little tougher than maybe even he realizes. Yeah, I mean, I've just seen it so many times.
By the way, more evidence that some people unfairly lost their minds over the whole field day thing. Like I said, every team does something. The Steelers had an ice cream party at their mini camp. The Patriots did paintball for a day at theirs.
Wouldn't you just be lined up trying to shoot Bill Belichick if you had paintball? Wouldn't it be like, that would be your hole?
Everybody was just, I'm going to get Bill.
Right.
They're not even
trying to capture the flag. Right. They're just trying to pepper Bill Belichick with paintballs.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Who are shaping up as the NFL's top MVP candidates? We'll tell you next. All right, so as we look ahead to this upcoming NFL season, well under now 100 days until the start of the season, Adam Schein of NFL.com put together his list of the NFL's top MVP candidates. Some of the expected names on this list, some not so expected. So here he goes. Top nine. I'll give you the top nine. Number nine. Tell me if you think this player belongs on the list or not. Alvin Kamara.
I think you could have a huge
He has 2,000 yards from scrimmage.
Right. And you know, they got rid of Mark Ingram left. He went somewhere else. So you're not sharing as many. Like, I think there's a possibility there. Alvin Kamara, trust me, he's a student. He's a really good player. So it makes sense to me that I'm okay with that one.
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald's the best football player on planet Earth. So, yeah. I'm not.
Whoa.
I didn't.
I love Tom Brady. Back up a little bit here.
Okay.
In case you missed it, this is a quarterback's league. How can you say
quarterbacks aren't
a defensive player, a defensive, what is he? Tackle. How can you say he's the best player in football?
Because he's the best player in football.
No, whoever the best quarterback is the best player in football.
Don't fall.
The man in the mom jeans is correct.
No, the man in the mom jeans is not. That you're falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Absolutely not. I'm not.
Wait, I mean, your logic makes no sense. Football is ruled by quarterbacks. Quarterback is the most important, hardest to find position in all of football. Ergo, whoever is the best quarterback in football automatically is the best player in football.
Showtime!
More on him in a minute.
No. It's not, no. He's the best quarterback in football. They don't play football.
They touch the ball on every single play. You either have one or you don't.
I get all that. I'm talking about playing football. Where you actually, you know, I don't know, use your helmet, shoulder pads, you hit people.
Aaron Donald doesn't play offense. He plays one side of the ball.
He is the most dominant football player. Do I need to put the qualifier for you to say the best football player who's not a quarterback? Quarterbacks don't play football. They play quarterback. Completely different.
Number 7, Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke is good. Zeke is a really good player.
But the Dallas Cowboys will make the next level because of
Dak.
Ezekiel Elliott or Dak?
Probably it's Dak. It's, you know, Zeke is probably because they will have, hey, we've got a great offensive line. Travis Frederick is back. Dak has improved. We've got Amari. They've got a lot of weapons. I just don't know that he'll ever get the credit. He's a really good player, but I'm saying no, he's not quite ready for prime time.
By the way, question mark coming up at 8 o'clock. You got one for Mark. Hit us up. RamosLaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. Number 6 on this list. NFL's top MVP candidates, according to Adam Schein of NFL.com. Okay, now order is short. Number 6, Carson Wentz.
Carson has put those kind of numbers together. He's put those big plays together. He makes plays, man. Obviously, the last 2 years have ended, his season has ended in injury. But remember, you know, Matthew Stafford was like, his nickname was China Doll, I think, early in his career. I think the first 2 years, he missed a bunch of games, and he's been solid, hasn't missed a game since. So, you hope that Carson Wentz can take it to the next level. He's a really good player, and a couple of years ago, he was having an MVP season right up to the point he tore his ACL against the Rams about week 11 or something like that.
Number 5, Andrew Luck.
Love that pick. Anybody with a good neck beard's going to have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron.
In case you missed it, by the way, Nick Ferguson was sitting in for you the last couple days. Nick said he thinks the Broncos will go 12-4, including a 4-0 start to the season, including a win at Lambeau, because he believes Aaron Rodgers has developed into a quarterback that is hard to work with, and he's not sure that the Aaron Rodgers-Matt LaFleur relationship will be a good one.
You done messed up, A-A-Ron!
Well, I mean, he may be hard to work with. I think there's quite a few quarterbacks that are probably in that conversation.
Really?
Because they want it done their way.
Who else do you think is hard to work with?
Peyton was incredibly, like, because he wants it done his way.
Thank you.
I had a coach tell me that Peyton will badger you until the point where you just change what you want to do, because he just badgers you until the point where he gets his things done his
He's
way.
He's just relentless.
Just unrelenting. And a lot of it is because Peyton is, I mean, Peyton's Peyton. He wants to do things a certain way, and he's super, I mean, obviously, his resume speaks for itself. He's incredible. But, you know, he's got this photographic memory when it comes to football. I don't know about other things. He probably has about other things, too, but he just remembers everything, and he wants it always, he wants there to be a steadfast rule that he can lean on, that, you know, so he's just that way. So I think there's a lot of those guys that are perfectionists, that are great at their craft, that probably are a pain in the butt at times.
Well, is this next guy on the list potentially one of those kind of quarterbacks? Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, number three on this list of potential MVP candidates. Have you ever seen a team go from lovable to annoying literally overnight? Have the Browns almost become now annoying,
yeah,
because of all the hype that's being thrown their way?
You know who was, I was with Drew Stanton this weekend, or this last couple of days, and Drew's the backup quarterback in Cleveland now. You know, he was in Arizona for a long time, so, and Drew's a great guy. Drew's just your prototypical backup in a quarterback. And he's like, Lord, the expectations. Like, he goes, it's amazing. He goes, we're super talented. Are we good? I don't know yet. Like, wait, nobody really knows if we're good. We got talent all over the place, but talent is different than, you know, being a really good team. And, it's amazing when you look at it that way. Like, he's on the team and he doesn't know. So, yeah, the Baker Mayfield above Carson Wentz, above Andrew Luck in the MVP in this list. Do you think that's a little bit too much hype?
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So we didn't get a chance to talk about this. What did you make of Mayfield? Who, again, according to Pro Football Focus, I think, or no, his overall quarterback rating last year was like 24th in the NFL. He's officially a 500 quarterback, I think, thus far in his NFL career. So he's talking about Duke Johnson,
mm-hmm,
who made a trade request.
Yeah.
And Mayfield said, you're either on this train or you're not. And there was some blowback against Mayfield for the idea that, hey, whoa, you do not criticize another player when it comes to contract talks and contract requests and money, that
think about Duke Johnson.
You stay solidarity with him.
Duke Johnson is a really good kind of all around, you know, third down type of back. And all of a sudden, you're in a competition in that backfield with Nick Chubb, who's incredibly talented. They went out and got Kareem Hunt. And Kareem Hunt, as told by Drew Stanton, goes, he just moves differently. Like his body quickness and his body balance, he's just like a different player. Like if you're Duke Johnson, you're like, I went from being the third down back and going to get playing time to where I may never see the field. Like, yeah, I want out. I want an opportunity to play.
But did Mayfield overstep his bounds as a...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wow. You know who agrees with you?
Who's that?
Luther Campbell from Two Live Crew.
Luther.
So Duke Johnson's represented by Kristen Campbell, who is married to Two Live Crew member Luther Campbell, who tweeted, bleep Baker Mayfield for saying that dumb bleep about Duke Johnson. I guarantee you be the one to divide this locker room. You are not in Texas at Cracker Barrel. All right.
I'm not sure with that.
Not really sure about that. Then he said, hey, Baker, and he's tweeting at Baker Mayfield. Hey, at Baker Mayfield, this will be my last tweet to you. Brett Favre traded. Joe Montana traded. Peyton Manning traded. Drew Brees traded. Dan Marino told to go home. Don't ever turn on your teammates for management. You are not exempt.
Man, what's Two Live Crew's, what's his name?
Luther Campbell.
Luther.
hey, what's the matter, guys, back there? You always love playing music whenever we start talking about stuff like this. Why you can't play any Two Live Crew?
This is what Mike says to Ben and I behind the scenes as he's getting ready to set this story up. Hey guys, get some Two Live Crew ready to go.
Yeah. Is there anything Two Live Crew that you could play?
Probably not, huh?
Right.
It'd be a bunch of bleeps. Ah, miso.
All right, continuing on. So Baker Mayfield Browns hype machine out of control. They're number three. Number two on the NFL's top MVP candidates, according to Adam Schein of NFL.com, Philip Rivers. Might be time for Philip to break through, yeah. Huh? Might be time for the Chargers to break through.
Think about it. Just had his ninth kid.
Yeah.
How focused is he going to be on being away from the house?
Good point.
Prepping football.
Great point. Laser focus.
Right. Have his best year.
And number one on the list.
Showtime.
So.
I don't know about the Showtime.
What do you mean? He would not be your number one MVP candidate going into this year?
I love Tom Brady.
Yep. By the way, conspicuous in his absence.
Whoa.
No Uggs on this list.
Adam. And I know Adam Schein pretty well. This list has just gone from, hey, this was fun to talk about. This list is garbage.
It's now garbage, huh?
It's garbage. It's a garbage list.
It was interesting.
It was interesting.
Talk show fodder right up until we got to the end.
Then we got to number one, and it wasn't Tom Brady. Hey, listen, I know I'm all about Aaron Donald being the best football player on the planet.
Right.
He's on your list, and Tom Brady isn't. Who won the Super Bowl last year? The two of them played against each other. Who was the MVP of that game?
No Jared Goff on this list either.
Who's the MVP of that game? No, it's Julian Edelman. Why isn't Julian on this list?
Jules isn't on this list.
Jules.
So, but again, here's the big, it's just one person's opinion, but again, a stark reminder. Number one, number two on this list, Patrick Mahomes, Philip Rivers. That's what the Broncos have to go through.
This list is officially void. Two quarterbacks didn't make his list. This is ridiculous.